Open to the book of Ephesians. Look at Ephesians 6, and I want you to go to 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm not resisting now the Holy Spirit. I'm asking for His help, because He needs to deliver. I pray He can deliver this through me in a way that changes us all. The subject tonight is very polarizing, but not if we can look at it from His position. If we can look at it from the, if we can get His point of view, then it's not polarizing. Now, in Ephesians, which we call it is the New Testament parallel to the Old Testament book of Joshua. And we say that because of this passage here in chapter 6. And starting in verse 10, a real familiar passage. He's concluding the lesson. And he says, finally, like in conclusion now, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now who did wrestle against flesh and blood? Who was it in the Old Testament? That was in the book of Joshua. That's where they went in to possess the land. They had to drive out the Hittites and the Canaanites and the Amorites and all of those. They had to fight real flesh and blood people. Our battle. Now, sometimes we get to doing that in the church. But we're really not supposed to be battling flesh and blood people. Our battle is with who? He tells you here. Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And he goes on to that familiar passage, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. And he continues on. Now, in that verse 13, where it says, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Most of my Christian life and most of the teaching I've heard from that verse, well, when is that evil day? What do you mean? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Well, that's the day the devil attacks, you know. When the enemy comes and, you know, a boulder rolls down off the hill and smashes through your house and broke both of your legs, and then it continued and smashed your car, and your wife announced she's leaving you. And, you know, it was one of those Job days. You know, all of your children got killed by lightning. And I mean, everything, you know, that's the evil day, and you got to learn. In other words, when the devil attacks, you got to learn how to stand. But let me ask you, the book of Joshua, who was initiating warfare? Was it the devil? Or was it God's people? See, if that parallel is accurate, we've taken this all wrong. We've taken it as what to do when the devil attacks, when really the book of Ephesians is a war manual for Christians to go on the attack. This is how we go and take the land. That the evil day is the day of warfare, all right. War is not pleasant. And that analogy is not in there for nothing. But our warfare is to take this lost world for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And it is a war. Dominion starts with you. I'll never forget the day that Dave just killed me dead in a service. And I don't even remember what else he said before or after. He was just teaching along. It was good. I'm sure it always is, you know. And it was almost like an afterthought. He was stepping right down in this direction, and he got right about here. Now, I'm sure he probably didn't, but to me, it seemed like he just looked directly into my eyes, like I was the only one here. And he said, now you do know that before Jesus can conquer your city, he first has to conquer you. And to me, that finger was pointed right at my nose. That's the way it's, I'm sure, I hope it wasn't, but. And he killed me. I went, my God, that's right. Here I'm believing for revival. I want him to do all these signs and wonders. And I'm not yielded. I haven't bowed to the king myself. I'm still in rebellion. My flesh is not brought under his dominion. And I'm expecting him to have dominion over everything around me, through me. See, dominion starts with us. Does he have dominion in you? first you, then dominion around you, maybe your family, your city, your state, your country. Do you think he's through? If revival right now had swept through for the last 5 years in the USA, and every single person that would ever be harvested was already harvested, would God be done? We got a world out there to save. We got a world out there to save, see? So when he's talking about this warfare, we've taken a defensive posture most of the time with this book, and it's not a defensive manual. It's how to go on the offensive. It's how to initiate warfare. Well, when it says we're going to wrestle against principalities and powers, in the past we've thought that's what you do when he comes to attack you. No, we're going to take this world away from them, away from principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. If you haven't heard Dave's teaching on Satan's war machine, if you haven't heard those teachings, like, well, what is the difference between a principality and a ruler of darkness, for example? Well, principalities are the kind of, that's the class of demon. And I'm just going to just barely give you, I'm just giving you, whet your appetite so you'll listen to Satan's war machine. But, you know, that's like the kind that camp over nations and really whole religions. That's why, you know, the Hindu mindset, most of them think the same way. There's a principality over that, causing that. There's a principality over America. There's more than one. You know, there's this materialistic principality. It gets everybody thinking, well, all of life should just be about toys. You know, he that dies with the most toys wins. And really the truth is, he that dies with the most toys still dies. And you're going to find out then toys was not the meaning of life. See? Well, what's the difference between that and a ruler of darkness? Well, a ruler of darkness is just exactly like what it sounds like. They're territorial. There are assigned areas. I'm sure there's a ruler of darkness over Tulsa, and maybe there's more than one different geographical areas. One came and visited here one night. And it's exactly, their name tells you what they do. They rule. Their job is to make sure darkness continues to rule in that geographical area. And if they start seeing an individual or a group of people doing too much prayer, too much fasting, too much worship, his job is to unleash a horde of demons on your life to make you think, make you wish you'd never heard of Dave Roberson. Prayer or anything about prayer. His job is to get you skedaddling back to the first church where you belong. You know what I mean by that? I just want to go to heaven now. I'm not trying to win any. I'm not revival. I'm just trying to make heaven leave me alone. That's a ruler of darkness. To send enough trouble to make you quit. Well, see, that's on a personal level. That's on a church-wide level. Boy, he'd love it just to have a big old... He'd love to dry up the finances enough to really have to put a close sign out there by the street. He doesn't care how he does it. He doesn't care. Just any way he could to stop this. Too much light, too much prayer, too much fasting. Got to close this down. He's already tried a lot of things. Probably got more things coming. But see, our job is not to sit here and take a whooping. Our job is to go on the warfare. Take this territory away from him. We're supposed to be enforcers of light. Can I use that? They're a ruler of darkness. Well, we're enforcers of light. We are God's agent of authority. What I mean by that? In the name of Jesus, those that believe in my name, they will cast out devils. They'll lay hands on the sick. They will recover. They'll speak with new tongues, on and on and on. In my name, we're supposed to bring light into the darkness. Well, as you do that, you're going to go to war. It's a warfare. But no, we're not supposed to sit around and wait for his next attack. He's supposed to be over shaking in the bushes wondering what we're going to do next. As we come to take this from him, see. You got that? So let's get it straight. This book of Ephesians is not about when he attacks you. Although he will. This book is about when we attack him. Put on that armor of God. That's true what they say. You know why it's called his armor? Because it is his. Your righteousness is not going to get it done. You better have on his. See, when you really have on His armor, it's kind of a rough analogy in a way, but in a way it's true. He can't even tell if that's you or Jesus in there. It's His armor. You're covered up in it, see? And the sword of the Spirit, that's the offensive weapon you have? What is that? That's the Word of God. Most people, when they go to war, though, I hate to say it this way, most of them don't even have the mindset of going to war against the devil. They're always just trying to defend themselves. And usually even when that happens, you don't hear the Word of God coming out of their mouth. You hear gloom and doom and agony on me. When are we going to grow up? We're told, endure hardness as a soldier. Be strong, he says. How many of the prophecies that come through Dave, you hear those words? Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. He starts this off, be strong in the Lord. See, Israel didn't take the promised land in their strength. That's, in fact, them thinking they had to do it in their strength is what kept the first bunch out. They compared the giants to themselves, and they said, we be not able. Well, they were right. In their strength, they were not able. In our strength, we're not able. In your righteousness, we're not able. It doesn't say be strong in yourself. It says be strong in the Lord. The second group had it right. They said, okay, it doesn't matter how big those are because our victory doesn't depend on us. It depends on our God, and He is able. Well, revival doesn't so much depend on us. It depends on our God. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His mind. When you get that, you quit worrying about anything. It's sure quiet in here. Well, now we're going to tread into waters where even angels fear to go. Go over to 1 Timothy. Because with that mindset, we're given some real strong instructions here. And I'm going to deliver you from chapter theology today. Because normally everybody, where I want to go is chapter 2, verse 1. That's where he told me today to share this one that he gave me, this face-to-face document back in 10 years ago called Pray for Leaders. And I'm going to share that with you tonight. You say, well, now you're getting political. Well, not any more than Paul. You think there's not a principality trying to take over this nation? More than one? You think in the enemy's camp there's not counsel how to bring America down? How do we do it? What do we do? How do we bring this nation down? I was just reading. See, people that say, well, God, politics doesn't matter, you know. I understand some of that. Some of it. I really wish you would subscribe to the Voice of the Martyrs. And read about the little girl that was killed last week. Or I think it was last month in North Korea. You know what her crime was? She had a Bible. Had a Bible. Teenage girl. Executed. Executed for having a Bible. Read about the nations where you can't, it's illegal for you to even witness Jesus. To even witness and try and win somebody to Christ. You can go to prison, you can be executed for it. In more than one nation. Don't tell me it doesn't matter. You like the freedom of being able to do, you know, we have the freedom and we hardly ever use it. I've got to be real careful and stay with what he told me here, okay? Now let's read this in chapter 2, but I'm going to back up some and show you some things I don't think you've ever heard before. See, I exhort, therefore, anytime you find the word therefore, you've got to find out what it is there for. Okay? Based on something he's already said. I exhort, therefore. Therefore what? Nobody ever looks up above chapter 2. And really, we'd need to go all the way back to chapter 1, verse 1 to really get the fullness of this. But, okay, we're going to start in chapter 1, verse 1 because I don't know how else to do it. I keep looking at this. You'll never get it. Now, we're going to do a little Word of God tonight. Get ready. You ready? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. Now, by the way, as we read this, you think, well, what does Timothy have to do with Ephesus? Timothy was the pastor at Ephesus. Did you know that? We're reading the book of Ephesians. This book was written quite a while later. And at the time, Timothy is the pastor. So this is a letter to the pastor of the church at Ephesus. It says, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity. That means love, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now notice this. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind. Did you hear that one? Let me just read it again. I'm not going to elaborate. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy, because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy. Now notice, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some have put away concerning faith, have made shipwreck. Don't ever make light of faith, people. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. I exhort therefore. Therefore what? Based on everything I have said up to this point. Timothy, if you're going to be able to do a good warfare, if you're going to be successful in this pastorate, if you're going to have success with the things God has spoken, I've got an instruction for you that you need to place first of all. Here's my first instruction in order that these prophecies might come to pass. Here it is. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. Why? Why would that be the first instruction? So that we may live a quiet and peaceable life in all what? Now he got to listing quite a list up here. Quite a list of ungodliness. He says, I want you to pray for kings, those in authority, so we can live a godly life and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And what's his ultimate purpose? Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God's ultimate purpose is the salvation of a lost and dying world. And he says, Timothy, this warfare to bring all of those prophecies, everything God has said about you, everything that he's prophesied about the church you're pastoring, everything that he wants to come to pass, part of that, it'll sure make things better. If you can do it in a godly atmosphere and in a quiet life that's not at war, and so that it doesn't become illegal for you to share the gospel. See, you could say all you want about Rome. Rome worshiped war gods and all kinds of stuff, and Caesar was supposedly a god. But the thing about Rome, they had a strong legal system. And the other thing about Rome, they would let conquered nations continue to worship their own gods. They didn't try and force them into one particular religion. So they were still free to share, that, you know, to witness. Now, notice he doesn't say, pray for the godly kings and the godly ones that are in authority. At the very time that this was written, Rome was in charge. Not exactly a Christian leadership. The king is in the hand of the Lord, you know. The king's heart. And the Lord turns it like a river, see. Now, he gave me what I'm about to read to you back in 1998. And I thought it coincidence at the time. He gave it to me on September the 11th, 9/11. A few years later on a 9/11, you think I didn't get this back out? When it looked like we were, after the Twin Towers came under attack, and we didn't know at that time what was coming next. And boy, I got this back out, and I didn't even remember till I got it out and looked at it again. Oh my God, 9/11. You reckon the Lord had an inkling of what was coming? I don't believe in coincidence myself. Well, anyway, I've got to reading this again. Now see, and it doesn't matter, as I read this to you, who is in office at the time. At the time that he gave this to me, who was in office in president in the United States, I didn't vote for him. Okay? All right. But what you're going to find as you listen to this, it's God's perspective. His mind is on the salvation of this world. His mind is that we can live a life of quietness, godliness, and honesty. And that we be free to share the gospel so that all men can be saved. That's what is on the mind of the Lord. Now watch this. And this is Pray for Leaders. It's one of the face-to-face documents. It's at the website in audio form and in written form. Yes, sir. Now, even as I read this, don't forget the preface, the part from Ephesians. You talk about wrestling with principalities and powers. We have all different stages. There's people in this room just trying to overcome some kind of sin in your life. There's people in this room that's trying to do that and get along with your wife better. There's people in this room that's been laid off from a job, and right now, for you to conquer the land, you're focusing on trying to get a job. All of that is good. But see, all of that is also secondary. Ultimately, we are to wrestle with principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and take this planet for the kingdom of God. And boy, this is one way that you can be powerful. And the enemy is always trying to get you to think, well, you don't matter. Your prayers don't really amount to anything. Look at how flaky you are. Look at how you lose your temper. Look at this. Look at that. But listen to what God says about you. He says here, hear not my voice in small matters only, but hear my voice on matters even of a national scale, and yes, even on matters of a global scale. For I will bring you, and this is the Holy Spirit talking, he says, I will bring you instructions from the mind of Christ, how to make intercession according to the will of the Father. Intercession for those that are in authority in nations, says the Spirit of the Lord. My people regard themselves so small in their own eyes, that they understand not it is their prayers I use to manifest the will of the Father. according to the mind of Christ, even on a global scale. They say, who am I? Who am I? I'm nobody. Yet from the Lamb's perspective, these are the very ones whose prayers He uses to manifest the will of the Father, even on a global scale. See now, time out. You still in 1 Timothy? Why does it say, pray, make supplication, make intercession? Why does Paul instruct Timothy to have the people do that if it's not going to make a difference? It will make a difference. Otherwise, there's no reason to give the instruction to pray. See, you may or may not have voted for our current president or the last president, but I'm telling you right now, our president needs our prayers. Our nation is facing difficult, serious times, and he needs our prayers. We need to be praying for him. The Lord says it will make a difference on whether we get to lead a godly, peaceable life and have the freedoms that we need in order to spread the gospel. It will make a difference. And he gives an instruction in here how to pray, from what perspective, what attitude. So he says here again, he says, expect my voice on these matters. Whatever I instruct you to pray, trust me that I am bringing you the mind of Christ. I'll bring you the names of leaders you'd never heard of in the natural. At times you'll wonder, well, who is that? Yet I will bring that name to you, and I may or may not, according to the mind of Christ at the moment, lay out for you the situations involved. But I will bring you his mind on what to pray, and exactly what to say. If my people, now notice, if my people will hearken to my voice and yield to me and trust me to pray and make intercession according to the instruction I bring them, then the power of the Spirit will be loosed to manifest the will of the Father, even in kings and leaders you have never heard of around the world. By this method, your prayers can have global impact for the spread of the gospel. Your prayers can have global impact on the work of the kingdom in all nations, says the Lord. Does that sound to you like wrestling with principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world? I've had him do that now, a 10-year perspective. I've had him say, pray for, and it'd be a name I had never heard of. Sometimes later I'd find out it was a leader somewhere, sometimes not. I've just had to do exactly what he told me to do. Gary, have you been 100% faithful? Well, I'll ask you, have you been 100% faithful what he's asked you to do? Probably not. But I've done some of them. And I trust that whatever times I yielded to him and obeyed, that it made a difference. All right? He says, even in the crisis in your own nation, most believers are not speaking nor praying in line with the mind of Christ for this situation. For they are gathering information from carnal sources and weighing it in the balance of their own natural mind and coming to conclusions void of my counsel. My counsel comes from the throne. The counsel you received from me was not born on the earth, but was conceived in the heart of the Father, manifested to the mind of Christ, and revealed unto my people as they sit and hear my counsel. I bring the mind of Christ from the throne unto them. Would you cooperate with the enemy and bring destruction upon your nation by speaking great swelling words of man's vanity without first listening to the counsel I would bring you from the Lamb, in order that you may speak in agreement with his mind, ask the Spirit of grace? In the Proverbs, it is written that a foolish woman tears down her own house with her hands. Many are tearing down their own nation with their mouths. For they speak according to the mind of man and not according to the mind of Christ. They've not sat in my presence and heard the counsel that I bring from the throne. Speak to the people even this night. Admonish them. Warn them that they speak not according to foolishness. These are important matters. This is a grave situation. The enemy is struggling to gain even a stronger foothold and to become even more entrenched than he already is in this nation. I counsel you and I admonish you to remember the wisdom spoken in the Word, which says, first of all, make supplication and prayers, intercession and giving of thanks for all men, for kings and all that be in authority. But make sure to make intercession for the leaders according to the will of the Father, revealed by the mind of Christ, brought by the Spirit of the living God unto those who will sit and wait upon me and hear my voice, says the Spirit of grace. It is imperative that my people make intercession according to the mind of Christ and not according to the wisdom of man. Weigh in the balance these two things. What would you have for your nation? The mind of Christ or the mind of man? Choose what you prefer. And I really got rebuked on this next paragraph when he said this, because at the time there was lots of jokes going around on the internet about the situations that became quite noteworthy around the world, very embarrassing situations. And everybody was making jokes, and to be honest with you, I was kind of joining in with them at the time. It was at the president's expense. You know, you've seen that for the last 8 years, too, in the next administration, and now it's starting in this administration. It's always the same. Okay? Well, mine stopped. I don't forward any of those political cartoons. I never rebuke anybody for sending them to me, because unless I know you real well, but I don't ever forward them. They don't go past me, not after this paragraph. He said, when my people join in with foolish jesting concerning this situation regarding your president. Now, this was 10 years ago, and but it would apply anytime. Unknowingly, they're joining the words of their mouth with him who would destroy this nation. They place the Holy Spirit in a position of having to lift the hand of my anointing from the words of their mouth. They know not that as the degree of my anointing lifts from the words of their mouth, that the authority of their words is rendered less powerful in every realm of life. Without my anointing, your words have no power. Without my anointing, your words carry no authority. They do not desire this. They understand not that to join in foolish jesting and speaking words in agreement with the enemy of this nation by degrees lowers the power and authority I desire to manifest in their words. Admonish them to cease from this foolishness immediately. Now let's stop right there for a moment. I've been on the planet now for over 6 decades. I was in business for a long time. I've been in several kinds of businesses. I see that same principle all the time in the business world. It's real common. I don't care. I've been on the assembly lines in the truck manufacturing business. I've been truck drivers. I've been in construction crews. I've been in engineering departments of firms. I've been in all kinds of situations. And you're going to find most of the people, most of the time, complain about their superiors, the people above them, all the time. And it only depends on how, to what degree, you know. But generally it goes, well, those guys, if they'd listen to me, you know, we'd make some money around here. The problem is they don't know what they're doing. They need to listen to me. And besides that, you know, these fat cats and yada, 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 yada. And they're always speaking bad about the ones above them. I've seen a pattern over the years. Those people never progress. Even if they do, they won't last where they progress to. You will not continually speak evil. Or even, let's not say the word evil. People don't realize what they're doing is evil. You can't continually speak against your superiors. And I don't mean it that way either. What I mean is those that are in authority over you. Even if it's true. Even if what you're saying is true, or you can make a joke about it. God's hand of blessing is not on that kind of talk. And I've seldom seen people get promoted or succeed when they have that kind of an attitude and that coming out of their mouth all the time. You need the Holy Spirit's anointing on the words of your mouth. You don't need him having to lift his hand off of you. See, Mark 11:22, 23, 24. For that person, Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. If you're continually saying things that you know you don't believe, you're deceiving your own heart. The devil doesn't have to come deceive you. You already don't think your words are going to come to pass. You're saying stuff all the time. Or you're saying stuff that you know really way down deep you shouldn't be saying. The Holy Spirit, it's already grieving you about that. Yeah, but everybody else does it. Yeah, look at the shape everybody's in. We're not talking about average. We're talking about winning. We're talking about conquerors. We're talking about those that take the land. When's the last time you prayed for your boss? When's the last time you prayed for that person next to you that you just can't stand working with? See, we've become too much like the world. I was just at a situation a week or two ago where I don't want to tell anything out of school, but basically he was saying, well, just in essence, without saying what it was, he said you could just do this and you wouldn't have to pay the fee for that service. But I'm going, you know, I'm a preacher. I can't do that. And he says, well, that company cheats all the time by doing this. So you're telling me what your counsel is, if they cheat me, it's okay for me to cheat them? So where in the Bible do you find that? Show me here. The guy's always telling me what a Christian is. Show me. There's nothing like that in there. If they do you wrong, you give them the other cheek. You all know what's in there. But see, on a day-to-day basis, we don't think like Jesus. We don't talk like Jesus. We get our mind and our speaking in line with just what's popular, what's going on, you know. There's a lot of jokes going on right now. You know, they're funny I guess. Boy, they don't go past my desk, you know. I'm not going to forward that trash. Gary, did you vote for this current president? It's really none of you. Whether I did or not, I'm praying for him. He's the only president I got. It's the one he's got some difficult decisions. I'd hate to be faced with those decisions, and I'd sure want people praying for me if I had to make them. See, well, he's already made some wrong ones. It's not too late for God. Okay? That's in there for a reason. Pray. Make supplication. Intercession. Why? It'll make a difference. Well, then, if you can get these last three paragraphs, it'll change your heart forever regarding how to pray for your president or kings or anybody that's in authority. And I mean, it doesn't matter how evil you think they might be or how wrong you think they might be. This, if you can pray from this perspective, you're going to be okay with God. He says, now I bring instruction from the mind of Christ on how to make intercession for your president. And I'll tell you again, at the time, the one that was in office, I wasn't just real crazy about. Okay? So it doesn't matter whether you're crazy about him or not. He's trying to tell me how to pray for him. Intercede for your president as if... Now, this is easier for me at my age, you know. At the time, I guess I was 52. Okay? But intercede for your president as if he was your own son, born of your own loins. If he were your son, born of your loins, sitting in the office of the president, even though you did not agree with many of his policies, how would you make intercession for him? That's how you should make intercession for your president. See, I always told them, I got three daughters, you know, you've heard me tell it before, they all kind of went in rebellion. They didn't kind of, they went into rebellion at the same time. One of the things I always told them, I said, one kind of money I'll never have is bail money. One kind of money I'll never have is bail money, no matter if I'm a millionaire. If you did the crime, you're going to do the time. I said, I'll still love you. You know, you could be the best bank, you could set yourself to be the best bank robber Oklahoma has ever seen. And I'll still love you. I won't agree with you. I won't be happy with your life choice, but I'll still be loving you and I'll still be praying for you. Isn't that the way it is with children? I don't care how bad they are. I mean, a parent is still praying for their child. No matter how many miles off base they get, they're still praying for their child. You still love your child. And he's trying to get across from me, God loves our president. And he's looking for people that will pray for him from that perspective. And I got to thinking, well, what if it was my son in that office? And what if I didn't agree with his policies at all? I didn't agree with what he was doing, you know. Maybe I'm right of center and he's left of center and I don't agree with what he's doing. Well, how would I pray for him? Would I just, if it was my son, would I pray all kinds of evil happen to him? No. Would I be telling jokes about him and making fun of him? No. I'd be praying for him. God, help him. God, he needs your wisdom. God, I'm praying protection. Don't let anybody kill him, God. God, bring him counsel. Bring somebody he'll listen to, Lord. Bring somehow, Father, send dreams in the night. Send dreams in the night, Father. Send people he'll listen to, Father. Father, you'd be making intercession. I mean, you wouldn't be able to quit. But see, you'd be doing it from the right perspective then. And that's really where he sits. That's his. God loves our president. God wants him to make the right choices. He's asking us to pray because it will make a difference. Again, I say, for clarity's sake, make intercession for your president as though he were your own son, born of your own body, who was sitting in that office. As you would make intercession for your son, make intercession for your president and his family. Make intercession for his bride as though she were your daughter-in-law. Make intercession for their children as though they were your grandchildren. This is the wisdom proceeding from the mind of Christ who sits on the throne. Make intercession for your president as though he were your own son, born of your own body, bone of your bone, blood of your blood, flesh of your flesh. Make intercession in that vein, and you will be making intercession according to the mind of Christ, says the Spirit of grace. Okay, I have obeyed him. Now go back to Ephesians. We'll wrap this up. With all that in mind, see, normally we read this Ephesians 6, and the way most people have always done it is when the devil attacks me, and oh my God, it's the evil day, and I need to stand, and I need to do all that I need to do. That's not even what it's talking about. It's talking about going to war and winning a lost world for Jesus Christ. Now, with this thing here, this intercession that he just talked about, let's read this again about making, going to warfare against these principalities and powers. There is absolutely a design, a plan of hell to destroy the USA. See, Rome lasted for 1,000 years, and it was lost in a single generation. You got to remember that. It fell in a single generation. Now, it declined for a long time, but it really fell. Okay. And I got to be real. I can't stray from his mind much, so at all. So I'd like to add a lot right there, but I can't. So let's look at this again now in the light of what I just read to you. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles. That means the strategies of the devil. Yes, sir. I should have had you find 1 Timothy again. You want to see the strategy of the devil in Timothy's day? Here's some of the strategies of the devil that he would like to use to bring this nation down. Fill it with, starting in verse 9, fill it with lawlessness and disobedience, ungodliness, unholy and profane people, murderers of fathers, murderers of mothers, manslayers, whoremongers, them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, liars, perjured persons, and everything else that's contrary to sound doctrine. That's one of the strategies. Turn this nation so against what God has said is righteous that it makes it very hard to live in quietness and godliness and peaceableness. Okay, back to this. That's just one of the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The deception that is coming in our generation, the kinds of deception, and I'm not going to get on issues. I'm just not going to do it. I want to so bad. It is so subtle. If you don't have the Word of God, do you know whole Christians are going to wind up in camps that they're not going to be happy about when they stand before God? The deception is so subtle, you better have your loins girt about with truth. You better get in this book and find out what God calls righteous is righteous. And I don't care what man says. I don't care how much man says evil is good. See, that was the sin. Don't partake of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What does that really mean? Man, don't you start deciding for yourself what's good and what's evil. God has already told you what's good and what's evil. You stay with what God says. But in this generation, we've got a whole one of those strategies of the devil, and it's so subtle. Take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. If we're not careful, the next generation won't even know what righteousness is. They're going to be calling what God calls evil, they're going to be calling it good. It's already happening. I'm not going to tell the issue again. I saw a poll recently where they just had like 50 college students there from different universities, and they just started asking them these questions. Every question they asked them, the Bible calls sin, and not one of them, not one, raised their hand and said it was sin. They'd already completely programmed to call what God calls evil, they're saying it's good. That whole bunch. Now, whether they were handpicked for that, I don't know. But they were saying they weren't. They say they were random. Won't even know what righteousness is. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And here it is again, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Why? Why? Because it will make a difference. The devil is trying to get your battles around you so intense that you think, I'm just fighting for survival now. All of my warfare is about me, my four, and no more. And he's pretty good at that. I've been there. I'm not kidding. I know what it's like to be there. And I mean, you're just trying to survive now. Well, you'll be amazed how fast 10 years will go by in that mode. If he finds out that works on you, you'll be surprised how fast 10 years will go by. We need to see things from his perspective. And the only way I know to do that is stay in touch with the Holy Ghost. You better keep praying. You better stay in the Word of God and let him lift you up where you can see things from heaven's perspective. Hallelujah. So in conclusion, remember that part about praying for our president. He needs our prayers. He's the only president we've got. Pray for the Congress. Pray for the Senate. Pray for the people in the other party that you belong to. We need God's wisdom. We need God's help. The last thing we need right now is man's wisdom trying to figure our way out of this. We need God's wisdom. Can we agree on that? Remember that part about if it was your son, no matter how much you might disagree with what he's doing, no matter, or you might agree, I don't know. But pray for him from that perspective. Like that's my Lord. If you can have that heart, you're going to be okay. You'll be praying correctly because it's His heart. Okay? Amen? I feel like I've obeyed Him. Father, I just thank You for this wisdom. Lord, I know I never would have come up with that. I know I'm not that smart. Father, I remember how it changed my life. And it's changed me still. Father, right now we pray for our president. Father, he needs Your help. Our nation needs You, God. Father, I don't think he's trying to do anything wrong. I think he wants to do the right things. Father, we pray for him. Make intercession, Father. Father, bring Your mind. Get Your wisdom across to him. Father, we're asking for laborers to be sent. Godly people, Father, who hear Your voice and know Your word and are tender to the promptings of Your Spirit, Father. Send people that He'll trust, that have no ulterior motives, that have no separate agenda. But Father, they bring really the wisdom of God. Surround him with people like that. Father, we come against that partisan spirit in the Congress and in the House, Father. And Father, we come against that. Father, let Your Spirit prevail. Father, we pray for unity. United we stand, Father, but united with Your wisdom. Father, we pray that this be a nation of righteousness, defined by what You call righteousness, Father. Father, we pray Your blessing upon all those that be in authority, not only in the United States, but Father, we take this opportunity. Father, use these prayers right now as an entry point to kingdoms and thrones and governments around the world. Father, use this night to change the course of history. Father, use these prayers from a simple people who's just humble enough to obey You. Father, use the authority You find right here now. Change the course of history, even this night, by Your Spirit. We pray for leaders and kings and all that be in authority. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, Amen.